Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Faith That Will Answer Cancer. I've been thinking a lot about what's going on and what's coming. And honestly, put my phone off to the side. Honestly, with what we know about what's coming and what we see happening around us, it's hard not to think about that, okay? And I know y'all are all the same way. I believe that this year being an election year is going to be no fun, to put it mildly. I believe, because we have so much division already in America, that the election is going to escalate the division and make it even worse. And let's remember that God judges all nations that turn from Him the same way, with the same methods, okay? We're going to talk about that. The same things that He used on ancient Israel when it turned from Him back to idolatry are the things that He will use on America for doing that. He used war, famine, disease, and evil leaders. There is such a push against Christians and Christianity and the Bible in the court of public opinion. And this will eventually lead to intense persecution and martyrdom at some point. I don't know how long that's going to be. The Bible foretold all of this. And those of us who are in the Word, you know, we kind of know, you know, what's coming. You know, if you read it every year. And remember, too, that the increase of light and darkness inside each person is going on. Okay, so disease or pestilence obviously has already shown up with COVID-19, and there's more coming. I know there's another one right behind this one. I don't think COVID-19 is going to be over when the next plague hits, but I don't have the Lord's word on the rest of that, so I'd rather not give my opinion on that. Because America is so proud of her wealth, the Lord is going to strike our economy. You'll notice that whenever judgment falls on a person, a place, or a thing, whatever is most important to that person or place or thing, that's what gets hit first. The economic crash is coming very soon, very soon. We are about to see a crash that is unlike anything that has happened before. It is an unprecedented crash. That's bad. Okay, let me put that in plain English. It will be worse than the Great Depression. And the Great Depression was in our parents' time, for those of us who are like in my age. And it was bad enough, or our grandparents' time. I know my grandmother lived through it. Let me read you Wednesday's word, the threefold storm, for anyone who has not heard it, because he talked about this. And he started showing me this crash back in 2009 when we were going through the Great Recession. And I was like, oh, I don't want to see that. And I was just hoping it wasn't coming then, which it didn't. My children, the threefold storm is upon you. You must make the last of your preparations quickly. Then help others you know are in need. As you help others, you sow seeds for your own needs to be met as conditions worsen. I have told you I will strike the economy of America, and so I am. Not long from now, you will experience an unprecedented economic crash where I will take much of the wealth of the very wealthy ones who have refused to serve me, those who have refused to repent, those who have mocked. Pestilence has already entered your land and more is coming. You have seen now what pestilence brings. Prepare, my children, and know I am with you through all you face, and you will soon be here with me. Okay, when he says that he's going to take much of the wealth of those very wealthy ones who have refused to serve him, what I saw in the spirit was the people like the Bill Gates, the Mark Zuckerbergs, those types, who are like ultra wealthy, and they're just basically using their wealth to try to dominate the world. Not to do good with it, you know, not to serve him or serve the kingdom, but to do their own pleasure. So he will take their wealth. And there was another word, and I forgot which one it is. I'm sure that my assistant Dina will know which one it is, where he talked about they'll cry for their mammon gods when I strike their mammon gods. And their mammon gods are their companies, you know, they're in their portfolios and whatever. Okay, war. The famine will follow the war, according to the order of the four horsemen, okay? Also, when war comes to your land, it's my understanding that the invading armies eat everything as they go. Because let's say soldiers come in ships and they land on our shores and they invade. They can't pack in that much food, okay? So no, they're not going to take that food. They're going to eat the food as they go. The livestock, what you have in your gardens, what you have in your houses, probably everything that's in the stores. So when armies conquer your land, they take whatever they want. Okay? Famine. What I know about the famine is what I said earlier. The Lord said it will not be possible to store up enough food to get through this famine. He did not say why. It may be this is a famine that's not going to end. You know, the world's going to end before the famine does. That's what is possible, but he has not said. So let's talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, because now that we're in the first pandemic of our lifetimes, we can clearly see the times that we're living in. You know, once, you know, 10 years ago, the apocalyptic four horsemen seemed far away. Now it feels like you open your curtains in the morning, you might see one of them go galloping by. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. But okay, the first one, Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, the conqueror on the white horse. Some say is Christ, some say is the Antichrist. And I thought, okay, maybe it's the Antichrist trying to be like Jesus. But this verse says, and a crown was given to him. Ain't nobody going to give him the crown. That is just not going to happen, y'all. Not him. Ugh. Nobody's going to give the devil or any of his minions a crown. And then I thought, okay, it could be Jesus, except Jesus already conquered everything, so he don't need to go conquer anything. He already did it all. And then I remembered that at the end of time, there's actually going to be a group who thinks they can take on Jesus. They think they can fight him, so I don't know. But I am wondering if the first horseman is neither one. Who said it has to be Jesus or it has to be the Antichrist? Maybe it's just a person that the devil gives power to that rises to a position of you know, great authority. Maybe he becomes king of something or leader of, you know, the whole Muslim world or something like that. He gains his authority there and he goes forth conquering, you know, waging war and making people submit to him and whatever. That's what I think it might be. But I don't know that. That's just my opinion. I didn't get that from the Lord. One thing that's interesting, this word bow, he had a bow. This word, I looked this up to see what that word, and it is from a root word that means to bring forth travail. Now, what are the end times? They will be like a woman in travail. It made me think of the Muslim extremists. And the reason I'm talking about them is because I honestly believe with all my heart that the very final battle, the really big one, is going to be a battle between Christianity and Islam. They're the two biggest religions in the world. I believe they're going to duke it out. That's what I think. There is a group. It's a small group. There are many Muslim people that are just really, really nice people. I've met a lot of them in the Dallas area. They're really nice to talk to. You know, they're not evil people like that, but like what we've seen. But there's a group that believe if they do, I think it's called apocalyptic jihad. If they wage these attacks, if they can bring the end in, they can usher it in and hurry up and get to go home to their 70 virgins. Okay, so let's just say the rider of the first horse is a conqueror. Okay, the second horseman, Revelation 6, verses 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. A sword in the Bible represents war, for y'all that don't know that. The swordsman on a red horse, which is war and bloodshed. Okay, that's war and bloodshed is what the red horse is. Okay, the third horse, Revelation 6, 5, and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine. The third rider carries a balance scale on a black horse, which is famine. So you see, the red horse of war ran first, and then famine came after war. That's why I say famine will follow the war. Okay, I lost my place. Okay, four. Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. The fourth rider of a pale horse, and it is death. Many have said the pale in this verse means literally pale green. And pale green is the color that represents sickness, but it is also, if you've never seen this before, green is the color a body turns when you die. If it's untreated, it turns green. I don't know if y'all have ever seen that. I've seen it. It's green. So either way, sickness and death is basically that horse. Revelation 6, 9 to 11, the fifth seal. This is, now we're in the seals. The fifth seal is the cry of the martyrs. I don't know if I went on and talked about it. And the sixth seal is terror. And the seventh seal is the second earthquake. There's an earthquake in the sixth seal, and there's another earthquake in the seventh seal. Okay, so there's the horsemen and the seals. I lost count weeks, months ago of how many emails I've received from people that are apprehensive about the future, because they're not sure how to get through it, okay? And that's what I want to address in this show. That's what I want to talk about. Because of the time that we live in, of course we're apprehensive. We wouldn't be human if we weren't. I think about it too. It's just that it is what it is, guys, you know? And I'll tell you what's better than being apprehensive, and that's being prepared spiritually, just getting yourself ready. No other preparation is really going to help you a lot. I mean, you can arm up, and you can build bunkers, and you can store up food, and you can do whatever you want, but none of that is going to last you very long in what's coming. That's even if you get to use it and somebody don't take it from you first. Let's remember, the Lord knew before the foundations of the world, He knew that all this was coming, and He knew that we would be here. Because out of all the populations, all the people who have lived through all the ages, He chose us for this time. Okay? He chose you to be alive now in this time. If you are a general, you know, He is Lord of heaven's armies. He's Lord over all the armies. If you are a general and you are facing just a really gnarly battle, which soldiers are you going to send out? You can send out the toughest guys you have. You know why? Because then you can get done and go home, right? Okay, I'm just saying. I am just saying. Daniel 7:25. This is talking about the Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. When it says they shall be given into his hand, I assume, I have not researched this, but I think that means will be given into his hand. I'm not happy about that. And it looks a time and times and the dividing of time. Some people say that means 3.5 years. I don't know. Maybe so. But if you study this verse, the word translated wear out is the Aramaic word, balah. And it means to constantly harass. That's exactly what he does to us, because we're going to get what he can never have, y'all. Have you ever had an enemy that just constantly harassed you, that would not get off your case no matter what? That is the most exasperating thing to deal with. It wears you out. It drains you. It just drains you, you know? Okay. A lot of the emails that I've received have to do with provision and protection. That makes sense to me. I mean, you know, who isn't going to be concerned about that? If you know what's coming, if you know that the economy is going to go bam like that, and it's already sliding that way. I mean, we know it's sliding that way. But we're going to talk about that too. Anybody who's listened to me for any length of time has heard me talk about the wilderness and my journeys into the wilderness. Okay, you've heard me talk about that. The wilderness is not a physical place. It is a spiritual place. It is a season where God teaches you about himself through very specific and intense refining. And that is refining as in refining fire. It's a lot like when the Israelites crossed the desert to get to their promised land. Okay, it's like that. How long it takes and how bad it gets, it's completely up to you, believe it or not. Your responses tell him which methods he needs to use and for how long. Okay. Whenever you are taken into a wilderness season, one of the indications is your faith is lacking in some area. Okay, he's going to build your faith. A lot of times it's faith for him to be your provider, but sometimes it's faith for him to be your healer, you know, something like that, comforter. When you exit the wilderness, praising God, always praising God, when you're exiting the wilderness, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I promise you, you are. You have much stronger faith, much stronger, a lot stronger, because it is in the wilderness seasons that he teaches you about himself and he teaches you that he's going to provide for you. Okay. He teaches you that, hey, I'm here. I'm going to do what I said. I'm faithful. I'm trying to get my screen to come back on because I got a hello stopwatch up on it and it's not going to mind me. I was trying to track how long I'm talking, and the reason is because the battery in this camcorder will only go so long and then it will just shut down. All right. Moving right along. Okay, so in the wilderness, God teaches you that he's faithful to perform his word. Okay? Okay, when does he perform his word? Is it automatic? Well, look around you. Does everybody have plenty? Is everybody healed? Why not? What is the difference between those who have plenty and are healed and those who don't have enough and are not healed? What is the difference? I'm glad you asked. The difference is the speaking and believing of his promises. And when I say believing, I'm talking about the active form of believing where you expect something, okay? Real faith, real belief has an expectation with it. If I believe God's going to provide for me, I'm going to expect my provision to show up, okay? If I believe he is my healer, I'm going to expect to see healing. If anything's going wrong, if the devil's attacked me in some area and I make sure I'm not out of line anyplace, I'm going to believe that healing to show up. When I went into those wilderness seasons, I was not speaking and believing God's word properly. When I came out of them, I was, and I still do, okay? Because if you want to slack off on that, he can always give you a return trip for a refresher course, and I really don't want a refresher course at all, okay? I don't want one. I mean, I wouldn't take anything for the wilderness seasons I went through, but I would not give you any amount of money to go back through another one. When I first went into the wilderness, I was working secular jobs. For 10 years now, the Lord has provided 100% of my support. I do not get a check from Social Security. The amount of royalties I get in my books is very, very minute, very tiny. It's less than $200 a month. It won't even pay my rent. It won't even pay my light bill. So everything that I live on comes from him. Everything. No other time before he took me through those wilderness seasons could I have had the faith to do that. I would never. He was preparing me in those seasons. He was preparing me in those seasons to do what I do now. And I cannot spend the time in the word that I have to spend and the time in prayer that I have to spend and the time answering emails and getting the words and doing all that if I have to work a job. It has to be one or the other. I either work a secular job or I do the ministry. I can't do both, especially at this age. So he made it so I could do this. And this is what's required for this is the faith that comes with expectation. I said, okay, Lord, I want to work for you full time. And if you want me to work full time, you know, and he said, okay, I've retired you from your labors. That's it. You work for me now. I did try to go to work, back to work one time after that. It was not a pretty experience. I did it for a year. I went through three brokers. I never went through brokers like that. Never. I would get with one broker and stay for years till the work ran out. I never changed brokers like that. Okay. I got to know the Lord as my provider in those desert seasons. And now I know him and I honor him as my provider all the time. Okay. I honor him with my tithes and offerings because I believe in tithing and I believe in offering. And when I need something from him, I'll make an extra offering and just say, Lord, just between you and I, I'm going to give this much extra and it's for this. I'm believing you to do this. You know, I believe in you for increase or, hey, I need, you know, my electric bill came in high. I need extra money to pay that or something like that. And I will just take him an offering and he always brings it. So it works out really well. Even now, in this horrible pandemic that we're in, which still seems so surreal, you know, just see masks everywhere when people are wearing masks. So many people that follow JPH are out of work. And I can tell when you guys are out of work, when I go to my mailbox and there's nothing in it. Or like I went once a couple of weeks ago, there's one envelope, one, with like $20 in it, just one. I can tell the difference because the people who follow JPH are givers. Y'all, they are givers. They are people that believe God. I don't know what's up with my voice today. I guess Satan don't want y'all to hear this. I bind you, Satan. I command you to stop in Jesus' name. Leave my voice alone. I know a lot of you have lost your jobs and you're struggling to hold on to your, you know, probably to keep your utilities on and pay your rent and probably to hold on to your sanity at this point. And y'all know I've been there. You're in a battle, and you've been in a battle, but your battle just got a whole lot worse with all of this. And I know a lot of people's jobs have basically gone away. Companies have shut down, and there's more going to shut down, y'all. And these are not small companies. These are big companies. These are big companies that employed hundreds and thousands of people. This is where we're at, okay? But it's okay because our God is bigger than this, all right? Normally, that would be a huge thing to us, but we serve a big God. This is not too big for him. Depending on where you were in your walk when all this hit, you might be doing okay or you may just be falling apart. And either one would be understandable. But let's start where you are and see what we can do to help, okay? If you are a soldier and you know you're going into battle, what do you do? You armor up, okay? All right, God has provided us very strong armor in Ephesians 6, okay? This is not a teaching on the whole armor of God. I did one of those recently. We're going to talk about some of the armor. We're going to talk specifically about one piece. Do y'all remember hearing me talk a couple of times on the podcast about faith that rises up and answers your circumstances? That's what I want to teach you about. Because the reason I want you to know about this is because you can be facing the worst circumstance in your entire life. You can be sitting there looking at your doctor and they're telling you that you have terminal cancer and, you know, 6 months to live. And your faith will get up and answer it. Okay. Can I just tell you that? It will rise up and answer the cancer. I'm not kidding you. This is the kind of faith I want y'all to develop. Because this is what's going to help you in what's coming, okay? God's going to give us boldness. He's going to anoint us for whatever we have to walk through. He's going to anoint us for it. But if you have faith so strong, it will jump up and answer cancer, you're not going to really have anything to worry about. Because whatever comes, you know, the faith will handle it. Okay. And that's whether it's cancer in your body or cancer in your mind or cancer in your family or cancer in your finances. Any kind of cancer. So today we're going to talk about one piece of armor in particular, and that is your shield of faith, because that's what that is. It is a shield of faith, and I'm going to tell you how to get it. The shields back in biblical times were made of two layers of wood covered with six layers of leather. I bet that was heavy, don't y'all? Because they were 4 foot tall and about 30 inches wide. Soldiers constantly anointed their shields with oil to keep them supple. Y'all ever noticed if you oil things, they stay soft. If you oil leather, it stays soft. If you don't oil it, it don't. The leather could not be allowed to become dry because dry leather cracks, and then the fiery darts can set it on fire. So soldiers would dip their shields in water and rub them with oil. If you put water on something and they put oil over it, the oil holds in the moisture. They actually carried oil with them all the time for this purpose, okay? Anointed shields did another thing, too. When the sunlight would hit them, they would reflect the light. So they're, in a way, if you were looking at shields and the light was hitting them, it would kind of blind you, it would kind of stun you. So our shield needs to be anointed, too. It needs to be anointed with the Word of God, which is the water of the Word. And it needs the anointing of us speaking God's promises, okay, and washing the shield with the water, but anointing it with the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need to speak those promises. Whenever you speak one of God's promises, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, when I speak that, it goes back in here and it writes onto my heart. And every time I write it, it becomes more and more engraved. And when it becomes engraved, it will jump up and answer for you. If something comes against me that looks at like lack, that will, it jumps up like this and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it answers it. I will hear it. I will hear it. It sounds like my own voice just saying that, like, okay, I'm not going to want, because I've claimed that promise for years. And every time it happens that way. The Word always rules over the circumstances if you have enough of the Word. Okay? And this is not blab it and grab it prosperity teaching, okay? What this is faith. This is faith. We get what we say. Mark 11:23. You get what you say. You got to say it out of your mouth. It doesn't happen automatically. If it happened automatically, everybody would be healed. Everybody would have plenty. And that is not what we see. It does not happen automatically. God's given us everything we need to get what we need, though. His promises are in His Word. You can't take a scripture and speak it one time, and then that promise just covers your whole life like that. That's what I'm telling you, because it's not written here. The devil comes and he steals it. Remember the parable of the sower of the Word? The sower sows the Word. Some of it falls on rocks and thorns and all that. And the enemy comes and steals it away. If you repeat it every day, he can't steal it, because you're writing it on your heart. And when once it's written in here, and you just keep reminders, you know, remind yourself every day of it, or speak it out of your mouth every day. Once it's written there, you don't have to confess it 10 times a day, but you can hear it. You'll know it's still there. Or you can speak it, or when the circumstance comes, or when you speak it to somebody else, you know it's still there. Okay? What works for me is I have a prayer list, things that I pray over, and I have particular promises that I have searched out to cover particular areas in my life. One of them obviously was provision. When I started living on faith, I was like, okay, I need a promise that will cover me on provision so that I know I'm going to have enough. Because I knew God's Word was true, and I knew it was always true, and I knew it would work if I knew what to do with it. And the wilderness taught me what to do with it. Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Your soul, your mind, will, no emotions. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So he's saying, keep them in front of you. Keep them on your heart. I had a list somewhere. Let me find my list. I'm missing a page here. There it is. The devil will come and try to scare you. This is how he gets your faith. He will try to scare you into doubting or being fearful. Doubt and fear both cast your faith away, okay? So our faith stands against doubt and stands against fear, but only if we reinforce it. So let's say the devil comes and he goes, you're not going to have enough. You are not going to have enough. If you've been in the Word and you've been doing this, then your shield of faith is going to come up and say, my Bible says my God's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's going to rise up and it's going to answer him back. And the devil is a cancer. If he comes and he tells you you're going to get COVID-19, your faith will jump up and say, no plague will come near my dwelling. Okay? At my house, in order for a plague to come near my dwelling, it's got to come through me. It's got to get on me to come in my house. So I quote that every single day. That's in my prayer list. No plague will come near my dwelling. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I have others. If he comes and he whispers somebody's going to do something to you, faith will jump up and answer and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. If somebody's trying to slander you, and any tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Isaiah 54:17 is the best scripture you can use against slander. The best one. Or false accusation. I want y'all to think about this. The preparation that you need for the future is to build your faith. And you build your faith by getting you a promise book or making you a list of promises, and then you declare them every day. And I mean declare them. You claim them. They are yours. You claim them. You don't just go, oh, well, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. No, you stand on that. It is yours and you refuse to give it up. You don't let the devil take it. You don't let anybody talk you out of it. It is yours. He gave it to you. He gave it to each one of us in his word. But you won't get to use it if you don't stand on it. Okay? You have to take a stand on your promises. Remember what it says in Ephesians 16? Therefore, having done all, stand. That means stand your ground. Okay? Stand your ground. These are your promises. They guarantee your provision, your healing, your safety from COVID-19. Use them. They're free. Come on, y'all. They're free. There was a Muslim guy that got saved years ago. I can't remember his name, but he's funny when he preaches. But when he got a hold of a Bible the first time and he started reading it, he said, and I read this and I thought this was so hilarious. And he said, it's too late. The Christians have already taken over the world. He gave them everything they need right here. He recognized it. But so many of us don't. So many Christians don't recognize what God gave them in his word. There's nothing he didn't give us. You know, we go to him and beg him for things in prayer, but we're not beggars. We're sons and daughters. We're his children. He's not going to deny us anything that's good. Unless it's absolutely 100% against his will. You know, obviously I can't pray for a husband. I'm divorced and not eligible to have a husband. So, but things like that. But anything else, you know, I could pray for it as long as it's not out of his will. Okay. When I was studying the shield, I was thinking about this one thing, and I'm going to close with this. I want y'all to remember this, too. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's our shield. That's not the only place it says he's our shield. He's our refuge. But I came across Psalm 23, 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's part of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that one. Okay. I have often looked at that and thought, why is he making a table? Because I looked up the word table, and it means a table like you know, when you're setting a banquet, that kind of spread, making a spread on a table. And I said, why are we? And then it hit me today. I don't know about y'all, but the only reason I'm going to prepare a table on my way to battle is when I know I'm fixing to win, I'm going to come home and eat dinner, okay? I'm just saying. Psalm 23:5 now makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm going to be declaring that one too. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. If he prepares your table in the presence of your enemies, he's saying she's fixing to take names and kick booty, and she's coming right back to eat dinner. I'm just telling y'all. Read the word. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And God does have a sense of humor. He called me to preach. That tells you a lot right there. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Try not to be apprehensive. Just get ready spiritually. You won't be nearly as afraid. Okay? Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com.